Jeff Creever joins us right now. What's going on, Creever?
Not too much. Just getting ready for some Friday night football and dreaming up new ways to take you guys down in CFL fantasy again this week.
Yep, congratulations on another win for you, although I wasn't that far off, so it wasn't a dominant win for you. Before we get into what's actually going to happen on the field this week, tell me about this CFL simulation, because I understand that it's got a Grey Cup that is simulated that Stampeders fans will be happy to hear about. So tell me about CFL simulation.
Yeah, so we've been doing this for a few years now, and it starts up every year after Labor Day. And it's Keith Willoughby, who's a statistician, and he kind of breaks down the numbers based on a number of variables. From it's weighted by recent play, past performance, as well as the environment. And for example, the Calgary Stampeders have the lead in the West, so they're by virtue of that going to have a better chance with just having to win one game to get to the Grey Cup. It looks at so many different things, as well as statistical indicators such as leading the league in passing yards, defensive passing yards, different things like that. So this week, the first of the year came out, and the Calgary Stampeders leading the pack as far as the best chance to go to the Grey Cup and win it with a Calgary-Hamilton matchup leading the way of most probable Grey Cup matchups for the 106th Grey Cup.
So again, this... This was right last year, right? Like after Labor Day, it predicted Toronto winning the Grey Cup.
Well, so it wasn't after Labor Day that it predicted the Argos would win the Grey Cup. I believe it was Calgary that was the heavy favorite at that point.
Okay.
But it's always interesting to and the numbers always come as a shock to people because a team in the East, whether it's Ottawa every year or Toronto or Hamilton, that may have around a 500 record, always has, of course, a much higher chance of winning the Grey Cup than other teams in the West, just because they're in the East and one team from the East is going to be in the Grey Cup. Right. So those are considered in these numbers. So last year, what was really interesting, what happened was when it came time to the Grey Cup, the week of the Grey Cup, Toronto and Calgary, we all know how big of a favorite the Stamps were in that game. But here was the CFL simulation predicting that the Toronto Argonauts would win that game. Based off the fact that the Argos had won a number of their games. I believe they were 6-2 in their last eight going into that game. They'd gotten into a bit of a run. The numbers said they were playing well. James Wilder was running the ball like crazy. And that was sort of when the CFL simulation got a little bit famous. And it sort of became the talk of the Grey Cup that week because nobody else in the right mind said the Argos were going to win that game.
That's right. That's right. Well, very cool. So it's got Calgary and Hamilton playing in the Grey Cup. We'll see if that ends up coming to pass. And funny enough, those two teams play on Saturday. We'll get to that matchup in just a couple of minutes with Jeff Creever of CFL.ca. But let's first off talk about this matchup tonight, Montreal and BC to kick off Week 14. And first of all, the guy who's not playing tonight, Johnny Manziel, is not going to start tonight. It will be Antonio Pipkin getting the start. But when does Johnny Manziel get back in? And does he need to get back in?
I don't know if he gets back in. And at this point, there's some legitimate doubt. He hasn't practiced much this week. We know he had the flu. And he's listed third on the depth chart going into this game. Now, whether that's because of his lack of preparedness from not practicing this week, that would make a lot of sense. Matt Schultz probably ready to go there. We heard the reports this week from Dave Naylor and various reports, talk at least, speculation that maybe Manziel this contract, maybe he's not back next year. We don't know what's going to happen there. I think he needs to be playing soon, and I don't think this week. I think Pipkin deserves to get another shot. Manziel not practicing much this week is a factor, but I think in the next few weeks, Johnny Manziel needs to get another start. The Alouettes just gave up way too much to bring him in. We've heard from everyone about how mesmerizing of a prospect, how good he could be. And to be quite honest, everybody looks at the four interception game, but a two-game sample size with one of those games coming a week after being traded, I don't think that's enough for anyone to definitively say that Johnny Manziel isn't going to be a good quarterback in this league. So I understand the possible commitment issues there. I get it. I understand that angle. But I think the Alouettes, it would be a little bit irresponsible to look at Johnny Manziel and say, we're done with this after just two games.
Same time, though, what if the other guy's given you the best chance to win? And he has won two games, and Manziel, to his credit, has not won once.
It's a hypothetical. If Pipkin keeps winning, if they find a way to keep winning games with Pipkin and Pipkin is playing great, yeah, that's a hypothetical, a big what if that you sort of cross that bridge when you get there. But it's not like Antonio Pipkin has lit up the scoreboard the last couple games. I mean, they beat an Argos team that's struggling in its own right, and they held the Ottawa Redblacks to, 14 points? I mean, I'm crediting that win just as much, if not more, to the Montreal Alouettes defense, the way that they shut down that Ottawa offense in that game. So I'm not sure I'm ready to say that they're winning because of Antonio Pipkin. They played a lot better the last two games on the defensive side of the ball. That wasn't happening when Johnny Manziel was in there. That's not to take away anything from Pipkin. He's playing good football. He's running the ball. He's provided a lot of energy to that offense, like a real good shot in the arm. But I'm not going to jump up and down and say Pipkin is the guy that is definitely going to keep Johnny Manziel on the bench.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I'm curious to see how it all plays out. I am. On the other side of it, on the BC side tonight, Devere Posey is there. He was the Grey Cup MVP last year. We know how good he was for Toronto for a good chunk of his seasons playing there. Now a member of the BC Lions after coming back from the NFL. You like what this does to the BC Lions, don't you?
I do. And I really love where the BC Lions are right now. Bringing in Posey to the offense gives them a vertical speed threat on the outside that they haven't had in quite a few years. I remember the last guy I can think of there, outside of Chris Rainey being a running back, would have been Terrell Sinkfield when they brought him in at the end of the year. That was a good couple of years ago now. Getting Posey and what he can do to the offense, open up a little bit of space for Brian Burnham. He's going to open up more space for Ricky Collins, Chris Rainey underneath. There's a lot that they can do offensively, and the way Lule's playing, he's going to get him the ball. So even if Posey's not making a significant impact with the ball in his hand statistically, I think he does a lot for that offense. But I'm a big fan of this team right now, and I was doubting them earlier in the year. I thought that secondary was a bit of a mess coming in. They've been a really pleasant surprise to me, and I got to give a lot of credit to Mark Washington and what he's done with that defense. And now getting Micah Alway back in there, if they can get Elamimian back in the next month. I know that his timeline's a little bit unclear right now, but the BC Lions could be a real dark horse. They could make some noise.
Jeff Creevers with us from CFL.ca and the CFL Fantasy Podcast. He is our CFL insider here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Okay, tomorrow, I think the marquee matchup, I think you can look at all three of them and say there's pretty compelling storylines in all three, but I think the marquee matchup, probably Calgary-Hamilton, knowing how good Hamilton's been of late, and Calgary holds the best record in the CFL. And as you should be, I think, you're most interested in this matchup of quarterbacks, Bo Levi Mitchell versus Jeremiah Mazzoli.
Mm-hmm. These are, as teams, probably the two most complete teams in the CFL going into this game. But, yeah, like you said, the quarterbacks are where it starts and ends. I got asked yesterday whether I think Jeremiah Mazzoli is getting close to being in that elite category with Bo Levi Mitchell and Mike Riley. Well, I don't think he's there yet, but he's going to have a chance to sort of show us in this game in a head-to-head where he stands with players like Riley and Mitchell. There's so many aspects involved in a football game for us to sit there and say it's all about just the quarterback. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, you could argue that Mazzoli outdueled Mike Riley in that game when those guys went head-to-head. But the Ticats defense deserves a lot of credit there too, right? But when it comes down to it, I'm really curious to see quarterback versus quarterback. Can Jeremiah Mazzoli continue to be consistent and put forth elite-level play week in and week out? Because he's done it for a few weeks in a row now. But that's what separates those top guys. For so long, we've been wondering, can anyone jump into that tier with Mike Riley and Bo? Well, there's so many names have come up over the years. What makes Mike Riley and Bo Levi, what makes those guys so good? They're there every year. We're talking about them every year. So I think before we really talk about Jeremiah Mazzoli and him being elite, he's got to do it for a couple of years. But this is a chance for him to make a real statement on Saturday. It really is. Big game for the Ticats at home, and they got to get it done.
Also tomorrow, big game between Ottawa and Saskatchewan. Big game for both teams in a lot of ways. Saskatchewan trying to solidify the number two spot in the West and maybe try and make an assault on Calgary for top spot. Ottawa trying to keep their grip on top spot in the East Division. You think this is a statement game for Red Blacks quarterback Trevor Harris. How come?
Well, it's a real challenge going into Regina, into Ryderville, the heart of Ryderville, and and Mosaic Stadium and the sea of green that's there. That's one of the toughest places to play. And he's playing his worst football of the season now. Back-to-back weeks, he's struggled. The Red Blacks offense is struggling. Everybody's wondering, where does this team stand right now? What's their identity? And some are questioning, Ottawa has a home-and-home with Hamilton at the end of the season where that could be a potential battle for first in the East. Some are wondering if Ottawa's even in the mix at that point because Hamilton's so hot and the Red Blacks are struggling. So I think this needs to motivate the Ottawa Red Blacks going into a tough place to play, going into what many would call the sort of the football mecca in the CFL. They got to be up to play this game and to prove some people wrong, and what a challenge against the hottest defense in the CFL right now. I want to see what Trevor Harris and what the Red Blacks offense with a lot of weapons on their side in that lineup can do in that game.
Just a couple more with you. First of all, and this is a good way to wrap it all up because, you know, we're talking, you talked about how BC is positioned in a nice spot. We talked about Montreal right now. We know Toronto's struggling. There are three teams not sitting in playoff spots right now, and there are, you know, six teams that are trying to lock down playoff spots. But in terms of teams, okay, I'll ask you kind of a two-pronged question. Team that you think has the best chance of getting in that isn't, and vice versa, best chance of a team that is in falling out to be replaced?
Well, I think the BC Lions, I gushed about them earlier, so I won't talk at length, but I think the Lions are on track in the West. They've got a real shot to pass Winnipeg there. The Bombers are struggling. Timing's working out for them. Reinforcements coming in right now. Don't count out the Lions. The Argos, they're not playing well right now, and on both sides of the ball. I don't see the spark that was there last year. So everybody talks about, well, look what they did last year. There was a lot going right, and they were just losing some games, and things weren't going their way earlier in the year. I don't see the spark that's going to help them turn things around right now. On the flip side, I think Winnipeg's in some danger right now. The Riders' defense is so good that even through their offensive struggles, they've been able to stay afloat. No way the Esks are falling out of that picture. So the way I see it cooking down to Winnipeg and BC sort of competing for that final crossover spot. And if the Bombers keep playing like this, BC's going to take it. So I'm a little bit concerned with the Bombers right now and what they're doing. They need to respond in a hurry because on both sides of the ball, things aren't going so well for them right now.
Final thought, CFL Fantasy Podcast. We do our locks of the week each and every week. Who is it for you in week 14, which kicks off tonight?
Well, I'm still on Jeremiah Mazzoli. I've been big on him all year. I sound like a broken record right now, but a lot of people are scared of that matchup. Mazzoli, the fourth-ranked quarterback this week out of six as far as who's being picked in CFL Fantasy. I think that Calgary-Hamilton game is going to have some points. I think Mazzoli's going to come out and move the football and put up some yards, run around a little bit. So I think this matchup favors the quarterbacks.
I went with Romar Morris of the Stampeders. I'm with you. I think there's going to be some points scored tomorrow afternoon. And the Tiger Cats are a team that are difficult to pass on, but you can rack up rushing yards on them. No Don Jackson for the Stampeders, so Romar's going to be the feature back once again after his ridiculous Week 13 showing against Edmonton with four total touchdowns. I don't think he's going to get that many this time around, but I still think Romar Morris is a pretty solid bet. So he's my lock of the week for CFL Fantasy this week. Good stuff, Craver. We'll do it again next week. Enjoy week 14, my man. Appreciate it.
All right, I like it. Thanks, Pat. Take care.
He's Jeff Craver from CFL.ca and the CFL Fantasy Podcast.